Off the Ball.
GAA.
Galway needed a late Shane Walsh goal to beat Westmeath in the 24 group stages. You don't need me to talk up Westmeath here. You've got Westmeath's biggest hype man beside you and Matthew Brennan.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Our football reporter Ben Symes has joined me in studio because it is the eve of the World Cup and all the previews have been done, bar one. You might have thought that everyone has given their two cents on who's going to win the tournament, who's going to be top scorer, who's the player to watch. But there is still one important football figure to give you all of that information. It is Ben Symes. But we did ask you to come in and do your hipster's guide to the World Cup. But then we realised that also hipster guides are 10 a penny at this stage as well. So we've had to go further left field and we've settled on this. You're very welcome to the Ben Symes avant-garde guide to the World Cup.
I think Ben was spot on.
Avant-garde.
I heard Ben's analysis. I think he was on with yourself during the week.
Yeah.
And anyone wants to hear the facts, he nailed on the head.
Avant-garde refers to people or works that are unorthodox, experimental, and radical with respect to culture, society, art.
It is spot on.
Now the pressure's on here, Ben, because you've got to get excited about this World Cup in a way that the other 8 billion people on this planet can't possibly get excited about this World Cup. So you have to be hipster, you have to be avant-garde. And when you're not being very avant-garde, we're going to play this sound. For example, Turkey are dark horses this year's World Cup. Understood?
Understood.
Where do you want to start?
First things first, Owen. Essentials. You got to acclimatise yourself to the local climate. And when I say that, of course, as Kevin Bridges said, football without cans is nothing. So what beers are you going for? Personally, I'm going for Pacifico. Mexican lager. You can find it in any good Mexican store in Dublin. You're not going to be able to find this in your Aldi, your Lidl, your Super Value, your Dunn's. You're going to have to go to a Mexican store for this. But I highly rate it. In any event that you are of not in the vicinity of a Mexican store, Modelo and Corona will suffice. I'm not a fan of any US beers, not really a Budweiser man, although the cans are good. If you want to collect the cans, that is where you go for that. Canada, Molson will do. Like, there's better beers in Canada. I've been to Canada and, you know, the likes of Red Truck and some of these which you pick up for literally 90 cent per can. They're actually quite good considering what you're paying for them. But I would stick to Mexico. That's going to be a theme for a lot of this avant-garde guide. Mexico is the way to go. Snack-wise, I'm also going to stay in Mexico. Tacos are my choice when it comes to Mexico. So, Al Pastor, Birria Tacos, you can go somewhere and get them. Oh!
Al Pastor is basic.
Yeah. It's basic. Is it basic in Dublin?
I don't know.
See?
We're talking to 8 billion people here.
Tell me one place in Dublin you can get Al Pastor.
We
tacos.
Are a national
Across the road. Pablo Picante.
They don't do tacos. Back at you. So what are you going to do when the football isn't on? Well, those who are watching this on YouTube will maybe get this better than people are listening, but I will run you through this as well. So with me I have literature that you're going to want throughout this World Cup, and the main piece of literature you want is this. If I don't know if you can you can show them this on I think there we go, The Power and the Glory by Jonathan Wilson, A New History of the World Cup. I'm in the middle of reading this at the moment. It's brilliant. It brings you absolutely every single piece of nugget that you want to know about the World Cup, down to things such as meals. And I'm going to give you a reference here in the book about Mexico. So, England will be hoping that this World Cup will go better than in 1970. The manager, Alf Ramsey, for all his gifts as a coach, was a xenophobe to the core. He'd been a player in the England side that had lost against USA in 1950 and remembered with horror the greasy food served in Brazil. England, he decided, would import their own bus, food and water. For Mexicans, already irritated by a string of undiplomatic statements from Ramsey, this was the final straw. The authorities in Mexico decided the UK was beset with foot and mouth, so they impounded all the frozen meat at the docks and then burned it, leaving England to subsist on finished fish fingers and ready-made
meals. No way.
That is exactly the type of knowledge you get in The Power and the Glory. Don't know how to show this back on screen now, by Jonathan Wilson. You might want to keep that on the full shot just for one moment, because if you were listening earlier on in the night, you may have heard my newfound love.
Stickers? Is this where we're going? He's reached down.
You need to get this. The Panini World Cup sticker book. It's the last one that you're going to be able to get, Panini are not going to do the World Cups anymore.
Really?
Yeah, so I would highly, highly recommend anyone who is hasn't started yet.
Someone will swoop in, will they?
Yeah, it won't be Panini. Where's the joy gone in that, you know? Where's the commercialisation gone in that, you know?
Faceless company.
If I can put the two of them out in front of me and I'll continue on. So our essentials out of the way.
Yes.
That's what you're going to need. And let's be honest, Owen, you're going to the World Cup, you're watching the World Cup, you're going to sit yourself down in front of the couch and watch as much football as you can possibly watch. The timings for this are not exactly healthy.
Complicated.
They're quite complicated, especially if you've got a young family, if you have a partner who's nagging at you, you're watching so much football, you know? So these are the days that you're strategically going to want to miss, but you will let them on as if you're missing a great day and, oh, here's all this football that I'm missing out, but you're actually just getting credit in the bank because you're not really missing nothing here. So I wouldn't recommend missing any days, by the way. I'll be watching as many of the games as I can. But if you are to miss some days, mm-hmm. the first day you're going to miss, controversially, this Friday, the second day of the World Cup, and I will tell you why. This comes as double bonus points as well because you're missing only the second day. You're already putting in early. I'm already missing a day here. We're only 2 days in. So the action starts at 8 p.m. It's Canada versus Bosnia and Herzegovina in Toronto. You will have to sit through a second opening ceremony after already seeing the Mexican one the night before, which, let's face it, is going to be a lot better than the Canadian one is going to be. Also, this game was meant to be Canada versus Italy. So Canada versus Bosnia and Herzegovina, you know, probably not as good for the neutrals. Also, we just watched Canada last week. Why do you need to go and watch them again? Literally 1 week later. It also clashes with a huge night in League of Ireland action on at the same time. And then the second game of the night, you'll have to wait until 2 a.m. No 11 p.m. games that night. You have a huge wait until 2 a.m. The reason why the wait? United States versus Paraguay.
Another opening ceremony.
In the SoFi Stadium, a third opening ceremony, two on the same day. You'll have seen the best one out of the three in Mexico on the Thursday night. Day two, avoid.
So you're putting Shakira ahead of Michael Bublé.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough. Who is
Michael Bublé? Be here. He'll be in Malahide Castle, of course, the next month. Go down and see him there.
Who's playing the USA one?
I couldn't even tell you. I've wanted to avoid it that much. I don't care. That's too mainstream for me. This is the avant-garde.
Katy Perry.
This is the avant-garde. Katy Perry also going to be in Malahide this month.
There you go.
So don't go to USA and Canada. Go to Malahide Castle.
So that's it. If you want to get away, if you want to give your duty to a footballer's night, just watch the League of Ireland instead.
Exactly. Second day to avoid the group stages. I'll give you another one. It's also said to involve Group B in some capacity. Thursday, the 18th of June. The day starts at 5 p.m. in Atlanta, where South Africa take on Czechia. Yeah, we were meant to be at this one. So to avoid the, you know, what could have been all day, avoid this day. Next up, Switzerland versus Bosnia and Herzegovina. Again, could have been Italy, enough said. 11 p.m., Canada versus Qatar. Two teams that we've both seen Ireland play in the last 2 weeks. Why do you need to watch them again? They were absolutely brutal games. And then at 2 a.m., you have Mexico versus South Korea. It's Mexico outside of the Azteca. And still probably the best game of the day, but it's at 2 a.m., as it was with the Friday boy. Avoid, pick up the credit.
I don't care.
Do you have a happy home life, do you?
Maybe not. This might be signed.
Ben is trying to get rid of the kids he doesn't have.
So, we've given you the days to miss. These are the days to quite literally get out the double-sided tape, put it on your back, sit down on the couch. Don't get up unless you have like a, you know, a beer full of Pacifico right beside you. If the beer's around in the kitchen, you might have to get up.
What was the Canadian beer again?
Molson.
No, sorry, the one that you used to get over there.
Oh, Red Truck.
Red Truck, yeah.
If you can somehow source Red Truck in Ireland, it's probably not going to, it probably won't be as nice because we used to buy 8 packs of Red Truck for $7 Canadian, which is even less. Like, that's, you're basically paying nothing and it kind of tasted like it, but after a while, you got used to it.
So, crack a can of Red Truck.
Crack a can of Red Truck and sit down for Tuesday, June 16th. He's looking at Red Truck. I can see him over there.
Yeah, man.
The day starts at 8 p.m.
Freshest beer on four wheels.
That's what it is, Arthur. You open the car door, flip open the can of Red Truck. You can do that over there. You can't do it here. Don't do it. I'm not condoning it. So, Tuesday, 16th of June, our action starts at 8 p.m. No 5 p.m. kickoff tonight, but trust me, it is worth it. So, New York is where we're going to go. There is an absolute blockbuster of a group stage fixture. France, many people's favourites, take on the debated Afghan winners, Senegal. 10 of the Senegalese squad are born in France, doing Edouard Mendy, Kalidou Koulibaly, Iliman Ndiaye. From the French throughout history, obviously they've had a lot of players come from Senegal, such as Patrick Vieira. There's only one in this camp. It's Starman Ousmane Dembele has got Senegalese roots. After France versus Senegal, The other two teams of Group I go up against each other in Foxborough, Massachusetts. That's Norway versus Iraq. Past midnight, 2 a.m., you've got Argentina, the reigning champions. They take on Riyad Mahrez, Algeria. It's pretty much top two teams in the group consensus. Australia there too, but they are the top two teams on consensus at Arrowhead in Kansas City. And finally, at the right ball time of 5 a.m., so if you're getting up for work and you miss the games for, or if you're staying up like I will be, you can catch Austria against Jordan in San Francisco. Marko Arnautovic, but wait. You might have thought, oh, that's not roped me in. The other three are kind of good, but that's not roped me in. The reason why you're sitting yourself down for this action is because in between these games, also in New York City, is Game 6 of the NBA Finals. New York Knicks versus San Antonio Spurs. Another Frenchman in New York that night, Victor Wembanyama. There's 150,000 French-speaking residents in New York to be able to watch the two French-speaking Senegal and France go up against each other. Then hop on over to Madison Square Garden if you can afford the 20 grand for both tickets to watch Game 6. That's at 1:30 a.m. that night. Perfectly timed in between Norway, Iraq and Argentina versus Algeria. Get yourself down for that one.
Can I throw you a hospital pass here?
Go.
What do we expect from Iraq and Jordan?
Iraq and Jordan? They're not going up against each other. What am I expecting?
They're on your...
competitive spirit.
Competitive spirit.
That's what the World Cup is all about, on, as Gianni Infantino would say himself. Other essential group stage fixtures, I'll just throw these in quickly. Saturday, 20th of June, Cote d'Ivoire versus Germany. Cote d'Ivoire full of goals, side attack side. Germany are facing a lot of pressure back home. People don't really back Nagelsmann. Uli Hoeneß came out as well and said he doesn't back him. Wednesday, 24th of June, Scotland versus Brazil. Tartan Army versus Canaries. McTominay versus Neymar. Like, boy, wouldn't you want to see that?
Sorry, you're referring to Brazil as the Canaries?
Yeah. Norwich, ex-Brazil. 27th of June, Portugal versus Colombia. Colombia, exciting prospect. Luis Diaz, James Rodriguez and Luis Suarez, not that one, up against CR7 and Co in the final game of the group. And then I'm going to give you one. Monday the 15th of June, that's next Monday. Mercedes-Benz Arena, 5 p.m. Pico Lopez versus Lamine Yamal. Spain versus Cabo Verde. What could be better than Pico Lopez versus Lamine Yamal?
5 p.m. Irish time.
5 p.m. Irish time. Perfect time. I'll see if I can get myself down to Crumlin first.
Amazing.
Can I move on?
Definitely. This is, I must say, SKG has already got the thumbnail on this done, and it's a cracker.
Brilliant.
It's right up there.
So, let's face it. The official World Cup music is dire. I mean, absolutely dire. They've called Shakira back, and it's nowhere near what it was in Waka Waka. In the past, you've had some memorable unofficial anthems, put them under pressure. Coupe de la Maison 2018, if you're of that ilk, and whisper it in the loo. But unfortunately, it's 2026. So pretty much every single unofficial World Cup anthem is unfortunately AI. Some of them are quite good, but it's still AI slop. So I've gone for two that are not AI slop, right?
So are we saying that they're AI but not slop?
They are neither slop nor AI.
Okay, good.
Okay? Number two. There's only two. And number two, we have a journalist who was on Off the Ball Breakfast this week. It's Scotland's JJ Bull. He's officially been rechristened LCD Scott System, and this is why.
Kieran Tierney from 30 yards. Oh, I know he's gonna score. The scummy he's gonna score, he's Scott McTominay. Scott McTominay, Ballon d'Or.
I mean, that wins immediately. That's got the crown on it.
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. But we have got one more. And Owen, the reason why I put this in number one is because we talked about this early in the office, and myself and Arthur were just absolutely confuddled as to how you had not heard this song. This is by a band called Dubioza Collective. It could only be Bosnia and Herzegovina.
I'm from Bosnia, take me to America. I really want to see Statue of Liberty. I can no longer wait. Take me to United States. Take me to Golden Gate. I will assimilate.
Wow.
JJ Bull, your go was good.
Oh,
but you've
been
beaten by the Bosnians.
Second place, JJ. That is sensational. What's the name of this band?
Dubioza Collective.
I am
following this song is from
Spotify Media.
This song, fun fact, avant-garde fact for you. This song is from 2002, and they've refurbished it, and they've changed around the lyrics after the chorus to fit Bosnia's journey to Canada, not the United States, this summer.
Well, wow. They just say America, don't they? It could just be the continent.
The Americas, yeah.
Exactly.
Magic. Brilliant.
I'm going to move on.
Yes.
you might think you're, you know, your top scorers, you're Cristiano Ronaldo's. Mm-hmm. For some, you're Lautaro Martinez. Is definitely not for me. Mm-hmm. Here are the three top scorers. One you probably will think of, so I'm going to get this out of the way first before the has come in, but it's a reason why he's in the avant-garde this year. This is a man who was in top scorer shouts all throughout the tens, but he's not really in them anymore. A bronze boot in 2018 is the closest he's got so far. Romelu Lukaku. Belgium's all-time goal scorer. What does he do these days? Where does he even play? You don't even know. 90 goals and 126 caps is a phenomenal record. They face Egypt, Iran and New Zealand in the group stage. You'd imagine they top that and then go have a pretty decent round of 32 phase. He's 33-1. There's at least 15 people ahead of him in this. Here are the other two. Mm-hmm. Colombia's Luis Suarez from Sporting Clube do Portugal. 28 goals in 32 games in Portugal this season. Uzbekistan and DR Congo in the group. He plays in a very attacking team. I'm expecting big things with Luis Diaz and James Rodriguez up there. My number three, and personally the one that I'm going for, 66-1, Enner Valencia, the ex-West Ham man from years and years and years ago. He has 50 goals and 150 caps for Ecuador, a goal every three games. He's their all-time top scorer in the World Cup with 6 goals. I'm expecting a good run from Ecuador this competition. If they are to have a good run, he's going to score goals.
Did he score the first goal at last year's World Cup? The last World Cup.
Against Qatar. 2-0, opening day. Yeah.
He's 36.
Still going. He's playing in Mexico. I actually think he's playing in Mexico. Yeah. So Pachuca, yeah. So that is where you're going for your top goal scorers. None of this. Ronaldo, Lautaro Martinez, whoever the hell else you want. Harry Kane.
Kane
Mbappe,
is the most common one.
None of them. That's who you want.
It's a good list.
So you're obviously then not going to pick the winners to win this World Cup on. You're going to go for outside shots. So my
what are we talking about? So we're not allowed to call them dark horses because that's not avant-garde enough. What's the phrase you're using?
Wild horses.
Wild horses. No.
So my caveat for this was they have to be over 30-1. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is, and that's a big jump between the favourites.
Yeah, I'm aware. Yeah, thanks.
You're a bet man, are you? Fair play, Arthur. So a lot of people have said these, but I have to stay true to my roots because I called these very, very early on, as we said one day when Kevin Caban mentioned them on the show. And it is the team who finished second in CONMEBOL qualifying, Ecuador, as we said, Enner Valencia. Oh my God, I've called these from the start.
I'm giving Ecuador.
I've called these from the start.
That's not very avant-garde.
I've called these long before these World Cup previews started. The reason why is because, unfortunately, I spent my international windows up watching CONMEBOL qualifiers after UEFA, and I watched many, many nil-nils between Ecuador and other teams. They conceded 5 goals in qualifying. A defence featuring William Pacho, Piero Hincapié, Pervis Estupiñán. 22-year-old Joel Ordona is the one you're going to watch out for. Plays for Club Brugge. Watched him a couple of times in Champions League and for Ecuador. They're very, very good. They don't score much, but they don't concede much either. Make it far.
You had Enner Valencia as your top scorer.
Yeah, yeah. Because when the goals are going to come from Ecuador.
Okay.
Somebody wants to score for the Wild Horses.
Yeah. So, second,
yeah,
the other debated champions of AFCON, Morocco, and they're not just dark horses. I think they're going to go very, very far.
Semi-finalists.
Get out of here. Listen to this team. Yeah, but they were semi-finalists off a run that, you know, people said it came from Qatar. It was an Arab state making it to the semi-final. If you go through the team, Bono was in goal. Hakimi Mazraoui, Issa Diop is in. Ali Nui from Roma. Eze Abde, former Barcelona graduate, now Betis. Brahim Diaz from Real Madrid. Bilal El Khanous is in there as well. Ex-Leicester, now Stuttgart. They're 50-1 to win the whole thing, which I think is a little bit outrageous. Considering how good the team is, before you heard the actual.
Well, it's only that they got the semi final, the last one.
But they're 50-1.
I know, but
that team is outrageous for 50-1.
Like even to
like the Netherlands are like 18-1.
Yeah,
they're better than the Netherlands. Telling you, lads. So, third team is the other side of the debated AFCON final, Senegal. So this one comes. They're in a pretty strong group: France and Norway. If they can come second ahead of Norway, I fancy them to put in a good run in this World Cup. They have a really strong squad. I've done the bracketology on Guardian 3 times now. Uh-huh. I've brought them to the quarterfinals in every single one.
Wow.
So Senegal are the other ones you're going for. I move on to, you might think this is a team to watch. No, I'm going to give you the pragmatic team to watch. I've mentioned them before. Ecuador, 5 goals conceded in qualifying, 14 goals scored in their last 18 games. 3 of those 18 games, only 3, had both teams score 8 nil-nils in the 18 games. They may be dark horses. They're certainly not pretty horses. They're going to be pretty grim to watch.
You'll need a few cans of Red Truck to get you through Ecuador's
cases of games. Red Truck. We move on.
I like that.
Shock or not, early exits. team who have not made it out of the group stage the last two. And you might be thinking, who could he be going for? The last time they made it out of the group stage, they won the whole thing. Germany, two consecutive exits at the group stage. I'm going for three here. Wow. Cote d'Ivoire and Ecuador are in the group for middle-level opponents. Leonard Carroll, late injury. Gnabry, injured. They're relying on Dennis Undav up top from Stuttgart, who famously failed at Brighton behind Evan Ferguson. There's fan unrest. There's no faith at home. This just screams early exit to me.
Okay. I like that. We didn't ask for hot takes, but boy, have you, you've delivered one.
Number two. The Netherlands. Jurrien Timber, late dropout. No clear number nine. Weghorst, Depay, I would probably play Brian Brobbey, but I don't think Ronald Koeman's going to play Brian Brobbey. Japan top the group and the Netherlands exit in the round of 32.
Okay, another hot take.
Whisper this one very, very quietly. England.
To go out when?
I have England crashing out in the round of 16. I don't think they top the group. I think what happens is they comfortably beat Panama and they beat one of Ghana or Croatia. They draw the other. But whoever they draw to goes on and wins their other two games. They top the group. There's fan unrest. The media start lashing it onto Tuchel. He's out to get us. He's a German. He's not one of us. And then they crash out in the round of 16.
To someone.
Someone. Senegal. Someone better.
Don't ask me to show.
Dark horse, work. Ecuador. Haven't prepped this far. Right.
Interesting.
Now you might be wondering, this is all great. These are all other teams. Where are my own Irish angles? Well, the very obvious one is Roberto Pico Lopez, captain of Shamrock Rovers. You didn't even hear me out there.
Nah, you said it though. You said
I was about to say, we're not going to talk about that.
You've already talked about it.
I'm going to move on.
Lopez out of the way.
Yeah.
So, you might be thinking, oh, there's another League of Ireland player there. It's Joey Anang, the Pats goalkeeper, is playing for Ghana. We're not going to talk about Joey Anang, but we're going to stay in Ghana. Belfast man, former Cove Ramblers and Glentoran manager, Mick McDermott, got appointed as the Ghana assistant head coach last week by Carlos Queiroz, who he worked with at Iran and Qatar. So number two in the dugout for Ghana against England is going to be Belfast's own Mick McDermott. Famously left Coles Ramblers in the middle of the playoff last season, posted a cryptic Instagram post as he was forced out the door. He's ended up at Ghana for the World Cup. I'm in the middle of doing that.
Okay.
Well, what a Wikipedia, by the way, if you want to look through Mick McDermott. Sorry.
Yeah. No, I agree. I could wax lyrical about that Wikipedia page. He's been all around the world and back, and now he's back again over to North America with Ghana. The other Irish angle we're going to take on, Richie Partridge, the former Liverpool player, is a physiotherapist at Qatar.
Yeah, remember that.
I actually saw him in the Aviva the other week.
One of the friendlies,
yeah. And it was one of the reasons why I put this angle in. So if you don't want to watch Pico Lopez and Joey Anang, you will inadvertently have to watch Joey Anang if you're going to be watching Mick McDermott on the sidelines. And Richie Partridge be on the sidelines for Qatar.
Will RT be doing Partridge Cam?
Hope so. If I was in charge of RT, I'd be doing the Partridge Cam, but that's another story for another day.
I would see the GA, people respond to you. Picture in picture.
Right. Before we finish up this avant-garde / hipster / bohemian guide to the World Cup, I'm going to ask the two of you trivia questions. How many sets of siblings are at this World Cup? It is a record.
Four.
Five.
Thank you. You're closer. A record breaking. Seven.
Seven.
There was meant to be eight, but Jurrien Timber and Quinton Timber, but Jurrien Timber dropped out. So we have seven. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I've got this wrong. I've got five who are playing against each other. Not against each other, but for different teams.
There are four playing for different teams.
Four.
Three playing for the same team. Go on, very quickly. How many can you name?
The Brobbies.
Yeah, Derek Lukesson and Brian Brobbey, Ghana and the Netherlands.
The Williamses.
Yeah, Iñaki Williams, Ghana. Nico Williams, Spain.
There's a lad from Scotland and a lad from Australia.
Harry Souther, Australia. John Souther, Scotland.
There's
only one more play for different teams.
Who is it?
I'm going to tell you. Desiree Douay, France. Douay, yes. Anguela Douay for Cote d'Ivoire. Ah. There are three who play for the same team. Lucas Hernandez and Theo Hernandez, France. And then a little bit more out there. Some EFL fans might know Leandro Bacuna and Janino Bacuna, former of Birmingham City and Aston Villa. And then if you're going to be watching Pico Lopez, nope, you're going to be watching Cape Verde's Laros Duarte and DeRoy Duarte, who are siblings. Seven sets of siblings. Seven siblings.
Amazing.
I have got just one more question for you.
About 20 seconds.
And I'm going to leave you on a very high note. How many teams have won the World Cup with the foreign manager?
Zero.
Zero. Two teams have reached a final with a manager from different nationality. That is the Netherlands in 1978, managed by Ernst Happel, Austrian, and Sweden in 1958, managed by George Rayner from England. So it looks like Thomas Tuchel, if he wants to win a World Cup and England want to bring it home, they're going to have to break a record that has never been done.
Ben Symes, that was fantastic. That was very avant-garde. Now it's après-garde. Take a quick break.